I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
There's going to be a decision soon on the resentencing of the Menendez brothers out in California. That's a fascinating development we'll be following. It could happen during the show today. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. I will tell you, you should mark your calendar for November 13th. I can't tell you why yet, but just hold the date if I were you in the evening. That's all I can say for the moment, all right? Doesn't involve Donald Trump. I'm sure he's going to be busy doing other things. But just nevertheless, you might want to keep the night open, all right? That's all I can tell you at this moment. So, the fracking issue came up last night with Anderson Cooper. Kamala Harris once again claims that she will not ban fracking. Okay, despite being on video several times saying there's no question she's in favor of banning fracking and even doing a rhyme about it on Jimmy Fallon's show on television. That's right. I'm going to play that clip in just a moment. But I want to give you some updates on polling and where things stand right now. A couple highlights here from Wall Street Journal polling. Trump leads Harris nationally 47-45. Now, I normally don't pay attention to national polls, but there's some key indicators here that I'd like to share with you about this. And that's this. Views of Harris have turned more negative since August, when equal shares of voters viewed her favorably and unfavorably. Now the unfavorable views are dominant by 8 percentage points, 53% to 45%. Moreover, voters give Harris her worst job rating as vice president in the three times the Journal has asked about it since July. 42% approving of the job she's doing and 54% disapproving. So she's in the upside down world now of approval, disapproval. Joe Biden's actually better than Kamala Harris is. I told you this. Look, I said it. Back in October of last year, when I made the prediction that Joe Biden would not be the candidate, and I said the problem they have is the Kamala Harris problem. It's what I said on Jimmy Fallon's show months ago before the swap was ever made. I said the problem is Kamala Harris. What are they going to do with her? She's worse than Joe Biden is. She is worse than Joe Biden. She is viewed more unfavorably than Joe Biden is. She is less favorable with voters than Joe Biden, who's out of his freaking mind. I know. I'm telling you right now, the two happiest people are Joe Biden and Josh Shapiro. They are the two happiest people right now by far. Joe Biden loves the fact that she's going to lose. He's so excited by it. He's going to tell everybody he's the only one that ever beat Donald Trump. He's going to sit on the beach and build sandcastles and eat French fries and fall asleep. And then every time somebody comes by and is like, hey, Mr. President, he'd be like, I could have beat him. It should have kept me in, right? I'd be like, yep, that's right. That's right. And then fall back asleep. And eventually, you know, the tide will come in and Jill will have to move him back a little bit. That's his legacy. That's what he wants. And Josh Shapiro, he's already booking hotel rooms in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina for 2026. He's ready. He's ready to run. This has been a disaster. This has been a disaster for them. She might be the worst candidate I've ever seen in my life. Honest, it might be the worst candidate I've ever seen. And I mean this even on the local level. Like, I've seen some real dumbasses run for mayor and council, but this might be, she may be the worst candidate ever. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it. There's a reason why she was not competitive in the 2020 primary election against all those other Democrats. She's not good. Okay, she was elected Attorney General of California, a statewide position. So what? You get the party nomination and you get elected to that. All right. That's not winning governor, it's not winning US senator. It's not really winning a real competitive office there. It's kind of like the party decides, all right, you know, you're the San Francisco DA, you're going to be attorney general, all right, everybody gets behind you and that's the end of it. And you run against some Republican, it's California and you win. It's never really been tested. The primary in 2019 and 2020 was a disaster for her. She had no votes. So are you that surprised? And then that person who runs this time around turns out to be such a crappy candidate. This is why they were so reluctant to pull Joe Biden out of the race. And I'm amazed they went through with this with her. I mean, so I really believe they were going to take Joe Biden out and do something with her. Find something, you know, get her on the Supreme Court, make her governor of California, whatever. I guess they just really had no mechanism to get rid of her. I guess they just had nothing. They had the leverage to get rid of Biden was Hunter Biden, who, by the way, today, Donald Trump said he would consider potentially pardoning Hunter Biden. I'll share that with you. He told that to Hugh Hewitt this morning on his morning show. But I really thought they were going to find some other landing place for Kamala Harris just to get her off the ticket, because there was no I knew there was no way she could win. And it's not because she's a woman. It's not because she's a fake black woman either. It's because she is. Well, I mean, I'm not saying fake black, but, you know, she's everything about her is fake. Everything about her is fake. Nothing authentic about this person whatsoever. But I just figured they would find a place for her, give her a spot somewhere, and then run somebody who is not connected to this administration. And she still can't distance herself from this administration. It's amazing. 12 days to go. Early voting underway. Lines. People are waiting in line for hours to vote. Mama Zioli waited in line for 2.5 hours to vote yesterday in South Carolina. The Trump enthusiasm that's happening right now, the Trump Vance enthusiasm, is at the same level it was in 2016. Same level. This is 2016 all over again. Even the attack points they're using against Trump, Trump meanie pants, same exact attack points. Let me go on here with this. And this is a couple of other key points here. By contrast, views of Trump have turned rosier. Voters recall his time as president more positively than at any point in this election cycle, with 52% approving and 48% disapproving of his performance in office, a 4-point positive job rating that contrasts with the 12-point negative rating for Harris. Moreover, voters give Trump a solid edge in most cases when asked about the candidate's agendas and policies. By 10 points, more voters have a favorable than unfavorable view of Trump's economic plan versus Harris's. And with Harris's, the negatives outweigh the positive views by 4 points. But hey, maybe fake farmer Bruce Springsteen can save fake candidate Kamala Harris's prospects. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Maybe, just maybe, that could happen, because Springsteen is going to be campaigning for Harris in Georgia tonight. And you remember what happened, right? You remember what happened in Philadelphia when fake farmer Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi had a concert the night before the election. I walked out of the studio with Dawn Stensland. We walked down the street. We saw a sea of white people, and Dawn turned to me and said, "Trump's going to win." Bruce Springsteen is bad luck. If he brings Bon Jovi out on the trail, it's going to be even worse luck for him, for her. Bad luck. Harris's lead as the best candidate to handle abortion, our strongest issue, has narrowed slightly from a 20-point advantage to 14 points. The issue has not been the issue that I told you this. It was not going to be the defining issue in this election. New York Times' Nate Silver now saying his gut tells him Trump will win. Nate Silver's another one who predicted Harris would win after the debate. The day after the debate was stunning for me. It really was. I still remember this. I was driving around that day, and those are the days I like to tune into other shows besides Fox News and conservative talk radio. I mean, I do that a lot because I want to hear other perspectives. I want to hear what other people are saying. So I tuned over to MSNBC. I listened a little bit to Smirconish. I listened to just different voices in that ether, and they were all like celebrating, like, this is it. This is over. She killed him. Worst debate. She's going to win. Like, good night. Good night. I mean, they were celebrating. The callers into Smirconish's show, they were so excited. They're so happy. So I came on the air that day and I said, Kamala Harris did not win that debate last night. Okay, the job of a debate is to persuade people. Trump didn't have to persuade anybody that he's better on the economy. They already know that. She had to persuade people that she would be good on the economy, and she did not do that. Therefore, she lost the debate. but Nate Silver and Frank Luntz's toupee and all these other people were like, oh, yeah, no, no, she won. And she's going to win the election now. That's it. It's over. I said, not so fast here. They're like, well, Trump didn't have a great night. I said, that's not relevant. It doesn't matter if he had a great night. He didn't need to have a great night. She's the change candidate. Trying to be anyway. She had to go out there and convince people to trust her and back her and back her economic position. She didn't do that. And it's everything I told you the day after that debate has come true here with this. My instincts are pretty good on this stuff, you know. I have a good sense of, it's my spidey sense. And it comes from reading people and it comes from just being able to kind of predict. I guess it's because my dad was a cop and he taught me street smarts way more than book smarts. And you got to be street smart and you got to think how people react in life. And you got to be able to predict that and look at situations and look at people's patterns in life. Patterns tell you everything about people. If you really want to understand somebody, look at their patterns. And so I looked at the sugar high of the convention and I said there was no there there. You walked away with an empty feeling. It's kind of like a situation where you're around somebody, you had a great time, you don't know why exactly, but you can't really remember why, you just remember feeling that it was a good event. Usually that's alcohol induced, but sometimes you just go, yeah, I enjoyed that show or I enjoyed that movie. You don't know why, you know, but it's not anything that's significant or profound. And the Democrat National Convention was like that in many ways. It was a lot of flash and pop, and it was a lot of sizzle, and but there was no substance to it. And the same thing with the debate. People the next day were saying how she did such an amazing job, and I said, give it a couple days here. Let it settle in. I don't think people are going to be saying that after a few days. And sure enough, as the week went on, people were saying the same thing. I don't think there was really much substance coming from Kamala Harris that night. And now here we are right now. So the patterns in this have been that there is this false media glamorization of Kamala Harris and the conventions and the debate and everything else. And it doesn't translate into support among the electorate for those reasons, because she was not able to convince people who were reluctant to trust her that she could do a good job in the economy. And Trump, all he had to do that night was just basically show up and be himself. And that's what he did. And Americans look back and go, I liked America better when he was president. That's what I like. I liked it better when he was president. They have a much more positive feeling from when Trump was president. The former president has expanded his lead as the candidate best able to handle the economy, with more voters choosing him over Harris by 12 points compared with 8 points in August. His lead over Harris as best on handling immigration has grown to 15 points, up from 7 points in August. Trump and his allies have spent about $375 million on ads. Harris and her team have spent $625 million on ads. New York Times, Nate Silver now saying his gut says Trump will win. Now, some people are wondering, maybe pollsters are hurting toward a false consensus. Here's another counterintuitive finding. It's surprisingly likely that the election won't be a photo finish. With polling averages so close, even a small systemic polling error like the one that the industry experienced in 2016 or 2020 could produce a comfortable electoral college victory for Ms. Harris or Mr. Trump, the New York Times says. But Nate Silver's model says there's a 60% chance that one candidate will sweep at least 6 of the 7 battleground states. Polling firms are pillared on social media whenever they publish a result deemed an outlier, so most of them don't, instead herding toward a consensus and matching what polling averages and people's instincts show. And Silver's conclusion about a false consensus is especially interesting because both the New York Times about a month ago and the Wall Street Journal earlier this week both noted that if the polls are off in the same way they were in 2020, Trump is winning every single swing state. The Real Clear Politics average of polling right now has Trump winning in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, North Carolina, Nevada, and Georgia. But beyond the polls, leaving all the polls aside and everything else, it is what the voters are telling the pollsters that you can put in the bank. Bank that more than anything, because there's no screw ups there. They trust Trump more in the economy. They trust Trump more in immigration. Bottom line, period. They know he'll be better on those issues. They trust him on those issues. And it's not surprising why. It's not surprising when you think about it. Here's last night, CNN asking Kamala Harris, you've been in the White House for 4 years. Why haven't you done any of the things you said you were going to do already? Why haven't you done these things? Cut number 7.
Some voters, though, might ask, you've been in the White House for 4 years. You were vice president, not the president. But why wasn't any of that done for the last 4 years?
Well, there was a lot that was done, but there's more to do, Anderson. And I'm pointing out things that need to be done, that haven't been done, but need to be done.
That haven't been done, but need to be done. All right, Anderson? I'm pointing out things that haven't been done, but need to be done. Well, that's right. That was literally the question. Why haven't you done them? That was the question. Why haven't you done those things? And she came out last night in support of eliminating the filibuster. This is the radical lefty nonsense I've been telling you about. You eliminate the filibuster, you make D.C. a state, you make Puerto Rico a state, you get more Democrat U.S. senators in there, you get rid of the filibuster, and the Democrats get to control everything, and nobody gets to say a word about it. That's what they want to do. Cut number 8.
Let me ask you, you've talked about codifying Roe v. Wade. That would obviously require 60 votes in the Senate, a majority of the House. That's a big leap. We don't have that yet. If that's not possible to codify it in the House, what do you do?
I think we need to take a look at the filibuster, to be honest with you.
Yeah. She's going to get rid of the filibuster. So that means then that the Democrats will have absolute control over the U.S. Senate. That's what they want to do. This is their ultimate game plan. So here's the analysis with 12 days to go. Kamala Harris is a terrible candidate. People who don't like Trump are going to vote for Trump because they know America was better when Trump was president. And the Trump meanie pants argument is not working. Voters trust him on the economy. Voters trust him on immigration. Those are the top two issues. Democrats were hoping that the abortion thing was going to drive people to the polls, and they were hoping the Trump meanie pants will drive people to the polls, too. And it's not working because Trump's support is at an all-time high. But here's where things could go wrong. And this is why I am still saying that everybody has to get out there and vote, and do not take anything for granted here. She has a huge cash advantage, and it's very possible the polls could be wrong. Just like they were wrong in 2016 and 2020, but just wrong the other way. Whereas, in other words, my worry is that pollsters are trying to overcorrect for the shy Trump voter, and they're giving Trump a lead that may not be there. That's my fear. That's my worry. That's my concern. Now, it's probably not. It's probably true. Because based on what the voters are saying, remember, I tell you, people lie to pollsters all the time, but they never lie about who they're voting for. They never lie about how they feel about things. That's different. That's very personal. People don't lie about that stuff. But it's possible there could be this effect where pollsters don't want to be wrong. So they're trying to edge it up a little bit more for Trump so that if it is a nail biter and it's close, it looks like they were right. Because the credibility of these pollsters, if they get it wrong a third time after botching it in 2016 and botching it in 2022, because Joe Biden was supposed to have this massive lead, which did not pan out, that for them, they just may all be out of business. That's the only part of this that still in my gut makes me very nervous right now. You know, and are there these silent Kamala Harris voters that are going to overwhelm the suburbs of Philadelphia? And are the suburban swing women voters? I don't mean the ones that swing, but I mean, they may swing. I don't know. But I mean, are they going to go out in record numbers like James Carville's predicting and give her the win? I guess the only thing we know for sure is that if that happens, then never trust a poll ever again because they're just completely useless. But my gut also tells me, though, that even if there is this silent Kamala voter that the pollsters are now kind of ignoring to try to even the playing field with Trump in the polls so that they don't botch 2016 and 20 like they did in 2016 and 2020, that still when they walk into that voting booth or when they fill up that ballot or something, the economy, it's going to be the issue that makes them decide at the end of the day, I'm going to vote for Trump and hold my nose and vote for him if I don't like him. I got to think that that's still going to be the issue. Let's hope I'm right. Let's hope I'm right about that. But I am certainly not getting cocky over this. Anderson Cooper asked Kamala Harris about fracking. And she's still going on about how she says she will not eliminate fracking. But he challenged her on a number of different things. This is cut number 14, a bunch of her flip-flops. I like what David Urban said. He said, Kamala Harris is the only person who could lose a debate when she's the only one debating. Cut 14.
To be clear, though, what he's referring to, and you point out, too, when you're running for vice president in 2020, you were not talking about banning fracking, but...
No, Anderson, I pledged that I would not ban fracking.
Right, I know. You said you would not ban fracking.
Correct.
You know, you had said in a 2019 town hall, there's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. In 2017, you talked about Medicare for all. You talked about 2019, you raised a hand in debate about if border crossings should be decriminalized. Are all of those issues, which those are not your positions now, are all those issues that you're saying through consensus and getting stuff done, you have evolved on?
Well, no, let's take, for example, the issue of Medicare. My point has always been that access to health care should not just be a privilege of those who can afford it. It should be a right for all people. So that is why I have worked on doing what we have done to, one, allow Medicare to negotiate against the big pharmaceutical companies to bring down the cost of prescription medication. We've achieved that in terms of capping the cost of insulin for seniors at $35 a month, capping the cost of annual prescriptions at $2,000 a year for seniors. But my plan moving forward, based on that very principle that I've always had, is as president, to have that cap be for everyone and not just for our seniors. The work that I have done that has been about recognizing the importance of dealing with border security, that has never changed. As I said, I have prosecuted transnational criminal organizations. That I did for years before I ever ran in 2019.
She took the entire day off the campaign trail to prep for this town hall with Anderson Cooper. The entire day. And she's such a bad candidate that even though she spent all day prepping and probably the day before prepping, and maybe that's part of the problem is that she overprepares, I don't know, but she sounds so nervous. Doesn't she sound nervous to you? She sounds nervous. It comes across to me as somebody who knows she's losing, does not believe anything she's really saying. Because it's been in a binder with talking points, and she's trying to remember what the talking points say, and she's trying to recite those things, and none of it is real, and none of it's authentic. It's all staged, and it's just bad. This was a bad night for her in the closing 12 days of the campaign, and she literally took a day off the campaign trail to get ready for this. And it turned out to be a disaster. Bad stuff, man. Bad stuff. Joe Biden's loving it, though. He's loving it. All right, listen, when it comes to your home, Emmons Roofing is going to help you with all of your home improvement needs. How's that roof? Winter's coming. Do you need a new roof? Well, if you do, reach out to my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding, because Emmons has 10% off for each and every one of my listeners. 10% off roofing, siding, windows, and doors. That's right. Let's go to EmmonsRoofing.com. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And they'll do a great job for you. E-M-M-O-N-S, EmmonsRoofing.com. They are great friends of mine, too. Matt and Stephanie are good people, and they'll make sure the work is done right. So with winter coming, take advantage of the 10% off inflation relief discount and upgrade your home. Protection, peace of mind, and do it before winter comes. You'll be very, very happy. You'll be really pleased with the work that they do. EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back up on the YouTube stream, so thank you for your patience. We appreciate it very, very much. Welcome back to the show, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot to chat about today. You know, there's a real fight to keep a true patriot, make sure he wins his reelection seat. He's one of my favorite members of Congress. He's Congressman Scott Perry, and he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Congressman, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Rich. We are slugging it out here. Look, anything worth having is worth fighting for. And as you know, in this world, you're going to have to fight for it. The left wants to, as Barack Obama said it, fundamentally transform America. And, you know, I never thought America was such a bad country in the first place. So, you know, my kids live here. I live here. My mother lives here. All my friends and relatives live here. We love it here, and we don't want it to be transformed into something that it was never designed to be. We can move to those other totalitarian countries if we want to. We don't want to live like that. That's why we live here.
Yeah, I agree. And you fight for freedom and you fight for liberty, and that's why they want you gone. And you're also somebody who challenges the establishment. You challenge the deep state. You challenge the military industrial complex. You challenge the CIA. I mean, you challenge all the powers that be, and that's why you've had a target on your back.
I think you're right about that. I mean, look, I don't think it's a big secret to many people that when you become an elected official, or most elected officials, their number one job is to stay elected, right? And oftentimes the way to stay elected is to just kind of keep your head down and not say or do much, right? So you don't offend anybody. Well, that's not my program. You know, I'm very honored to be elected and represent 760,000 of the greatest citizens in the country and on the planet. But my job is to make things better. And, you know, and that requires speaking up about things that you know are wrong. And it doesn't matter, Rich, like which side, right? We all fall short of the grace of God. So we all make mistakes, but somebody's got to say something. And more importantly, somebody's got to do something. And so when you have that frame of mind, boy, the other side doesn't like to hear any of that, because you kind of shine the light on what they're doing. And it kind of, in the same way, shines a light on what other people aren't doing. And so everybody kind of notices, and they'd like you to kind of step off the stage so life gets back to being easy for them. The problem with that, Rich, is it's not easy for our citizens. And you know, we got a duty to fix that stuff.
Yeah, no question about it. You are very knowledgeable about the intelligence community in this country, obviously, with your role, which is a very, very vital one. Can you give us any details on what happened with Israel's battle plans being leaked? What is the role here with Iran and all this? And why does this administration continue to try to play both sides of this?
Well, let's go to what I can say, and I got to be real careful, obviously.
Sure.
There's an investigation that is ongoing. I think it's pretty apparent from open source reporting that the belief is that it comes from inside this administration, whether it's the intelligence agencies or something else, or, you know, somewhere else within the administration. And I think we are going to get to the bottom. I do think we'll get to the bottom of this. This isn't going to be like the cocaine in the White House, right? That we never figured that out, right? But look, I'm glad you said it that way. This administration has been, and I've been kind of ringing the alarm bells. You know, this administration has been on both sides of this equation throughout its whole term. They like, you know, they want all their voters, their Jewish voters, to believe that they support Israel. Meanwhile, they're out there rhetorically and materially making sure that Iran and its proxies remain viable. And, you know, and what that does is it signals to people that want to work in the administration that they're welcome. And we have raised the alarm bells about a few very key individuals with close Iranian ties close to what we know as the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is the Ayatollah's kind of Stasi. And there should be no one at the highest levels of government. Quite honestly, in my opinion, there should be no one in government at all that has connections and allegiances to those kind of individuals and organizations, yet they work at the highest levels of this administration. And let's be clear, Rich, I think, you know, even though the mainstream media doesn't talk about it because they're playing, you know, they're on the Democrat side, they are the left themselves. But the Democrats and the left have a serious and significant issue with anti-Semitism within their ranks. Now, no one likes to talk about it, but, you know, I see it every day because I serve right beside some of these people. And what that does is that sends a green light that being against Israel and continuing to persecute the Jews is acceptable because the president's party says so. And, you know, this is the result of that. It's the compromise of Israel trying to defend itself.
And then you have Kamala Harris coming out yesterday and saying Donald Trump is praising Adolf Hitler. I thought that was so shameful. It was one of the most profoundly disrespectful things I've ever seen from a vice president or anyone for that matter to invoke Adolf Hitler about Donald Trump when he did the Abraham Accords, his firm stance and support of Israel. But also it's this idea that, you know, he's going to be this dictator. And, you know, Scott, you're a freedom loving guy. You're a patriot. We don't want fascism. He wasn't a fascist in his first term. Why the hell would he be a fascist now? It's absolutely irresponsible for her to talk that way.
Look, of course it's irresponsible. Everybody knows, even though the left hates it, Donald Trump, if nothing else, loves this country and loves how it was founded and what it stands for. That having been said, we should not be surprised that the left, Kamala Harris in this case, will go to new levels of disgust. You know, I mean, they know no bounds. They have no honor. There's nothing sacred to them. And let's face it, Rich, look, in a way, as reprehensible as it is, it should be a sign to everybody about how desperate that campaign is right now. Let's remember, she got zero votes to be the nominee. They installed her like they installed Joe Biden, like they installed Hillary Clinton. These are the people that are the actual threats to democracy, not because of what they say, but because of actually what they do. And this is a sign that they are just completely desperate, as her campaign is in complete free fall right now. And look, you and I know it, and they know it as well.
Yeah, they do know it. And so, Congressman Scott Perry, what we want to know is, how can we help you? Because we have to make sure you get reelected, and we have to make sure we keep the majority in the House. It's incredibly important. You are a voice for freedom. What do you need from us?
Well, let's think about it here. Even if President Trump wins, and I think he will, if there's a Democrat House, the impeachment proceedings will begin right after swearing in. And so we can't have that. And Pennsylvania, the fate of Pennsylvania determines the fate of the country, determines the fate of the free world. And in Pennsylvania, all eyes and all energy is focused on this little district that I get the honor of representing, the 10th. And George Soros and the Walmart family, all these people are pouring money in for my opponent that doesn't even live here. So I could sure use the resources. If you got anything left in the tank, $5, $10, anything will help us keep an ad up to kind of tell the truth about this person that doesn't live in the district, doesn't care about any of these people that live in and work hard and pay taxes here. You can go to Patriots for Perry, patriotsforperry.com, to just check out Scott Perry, what I'm about and what my campaign's about. I sure could use the help, and I'd rather have it come from you than somebody like George Soros.
No, I don't blame you. And the other thing too, Scott, which is really important, is that if Donald Trump does get elected, and I think he is, I think he's going to win Pennsylvania. I think we're going to do really, really well, but we don't want to take anything for granted. He's going to need people that help push his agenda through. Because, yes, the Democrats will try to impeach him on day one, no doubt about it. But we have a real opportunity here to save our country. But we have to make sure we've got people like yourself who can support that agenda and push it forward. And so that's the other part about this, too. I don't believe Kamala Harris when she says she's not going to ban fracking. I don't believe Kamala Harris for a second when she says she's not going to tell people what kind of car you have to drive. These people are going to, if she wins, they're going to go forward with the war on energy on day number one. That's going to be a huge priority for these people, and it's going to hurt Pennsylvania in a big, big way.
That's absolutely right, and you shouldn't believe her. Well, here's what you should believe, Rich. She told everybody that no matter what she says, she hasn't changed her values. And
right.
Bernie Sanders got the joke, right? He said the quiet part out loud. When interviewed, he said, well, she's just saying what she has to say to get elected. And so don't believe what she says. Believe what she's done and what mm-hmm. she's voted for over and over again, which is, like you said, to take us back to the 10th century. You know, she's the one that wants to ban your gas stove, determine what kind of car you drive, and make sure that, you know, your electricity bills are going through the roof, because she's going to determine what your carbon footprint is. And she's going to make you pay for it if you want to stay warm in the wintertime and cool in the summertime. That's just what they're about.
And I also want to mention, you know, you've served our country in the military. You've got a great family. You are a family man. You got a ton of awards. I mean, just looking at patriotsforperry.com and all your work as a business person and all your work as your service to your country and your family. And, you know, we got to get you back in there, buddy. So please go to patriotsforperry.com. Support Scott. Help his campaign. be generous. And this is the district the Democrats are targeting in Pennsylvania. They're putting everything they possibly can to try to take him out. And we need him there. We need to keep him on the Intelligence Committee. He's going to hold the intelligence deep state swamp accountable. We need to keep him there. So, Scott, best of luck to you, my friend. We're going to be there for you. PatriotsForPerry.com. Okay.
Well, thank you, Rich. Look, all we can do is work and say our prayers. So God bless you, and God bless your audience. Let's save our republic.
Well said, my friend. Well said. Good luck, buddy. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so I got a lot to get to. We're this fascinating development here out of Los Angeles about the Menendez brothers, and it looks like the district attorney, George Gascon, is going to recommend that they be released on the idea that they all these family members have come forward to say that the boys are being abused by the father, and so they should be released. Of course, it's up to a judge, but that seems to be what the district attorney is going to recommend. So we're watching all that, and we'll keep you posted on that as well. And I got a ton of audio to get to for you from Kamala Harris's town hall last night, but Ed's got a quick poem for me. Ed, I got 30 seconds, buddy. Go ahead. Ed! Ah, he's not there. That's all right. I kept him on hold too long. Sorry, Ed. We were just kind of guest heavy, buddy. All right. We'll have to get one of Ed's poems another day. We always love Ed's poems. All right. Listen, if you're a business owner, you know crime is such an issue. We talk about it all the time on this show, right? It is a major issue in America, and it's something we got to do. We're all trying to deal with. But as a business owner, you really got to make sure your facilities are protected. And that's why you need my buddy, Tom McCausland. McCausland Lock and Alarm. That's right. To secure your facilities, access to your facilities, closed circuit television cameras so you can monitor your facilities, know who has access to your facilities. This is vital stuff here if you're a business owner in this day and age. And you gotta know that Tom is a great guy, dedicated to the community, and he's going to make sure that you are in a really good position. And if you ever need his help, you're going to be able to reach out to Tom directly, not to deal with an 800 number and talking to somebody overseas or somebody can't understand English or anything like that. No, Tom will help you directly. Call him at 610-430-1500. They'll help you control access to your facilities. That means a state-of-the-art key card system so you determine who gets in and where in your facility. Incredible camera system so that you can keep an eye on everything. Look, a lot of companies can do these things, but there's only one Tom McCausland. And he steps up and helps our veterans every year. And he's just a terrific guy. And he's going to work with you one-on-one. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm. 610-430-1500. Securing your business. Securing your future.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so we are 12 days away from the election, and Kamala Harris is blowing it big time. But then again, maybe she's not blowing it. Maybe she's always just blown it. So there's really nothing to blow up here because this campaign has just been terrible from the start. But I want to play this. This is David Axelrod discussing how Kamala Harris goes to Word Salad City when she doesn't want to answer a question. Even he's acknowledging that Kamala Harris tosses word salads. David Axelrod, reacting to Vice President Kamala Harris's performance at the town hall moderated by CNN anchor Anderson Cooper, cut 15.
The things that would concern me is when she doesn't want to answer a question, her habit is to kind of go to word salad city. And she did that on a couple of answers. One
Stop
was
it
on
right
Israel.
There. Hang on a second. Wait a second. Word Salad City is a delicious place to get all of your healthy nutrients. Make sure you wash your salad greens before tossing them. Okay? Much different than Toss Salad City, which is something that happens in prison. Oh, sorry. I couldn't. It was terrible. I apologize. It's awful. It's awful. Terrible.
You're going to give Justin a heart attack.
I'm sorry, Justin. That was inappropriate. All right. Let's keep going here.
Asked a direct question, would you be stronger on Israel than Trump? And there was a 7-minute answer, but none of it related to the question he was asking. And so, you know, on certain questions like that, on immigration, I thought she missed an opportunity because she would acknowledge no concerns about any of the administration's policies. And that's a mistake. Sometimes you have to concede things. And she didn't concede much.
Word Salad City. Delicious this time of year. Word Salad City. This is, even the Democrats are acknowledging how bad this is going for their candidate right now. I mean, this is one of those things where you got to go, oof. Even they're saying it. And this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. He's a great guy, great friend, and of course he's having his Veterans Breakfast coming up on November 9th. So make sure you go see him and his Veterans Breakfast at a Cinnaminson office on November 9th. But, you know, it's amazing how the closing argument the Democrats are using that Donald Trump is a fascist and how it's not working because Kamala Harris is so bad at this. So Anderson Cooper grilled Kamala Harris over border inaction. Good for him for doing this, by the way. Good for him for bringing this up. This is Anderson Cooper now, cut number nine.
2022, 2023, there were record border crossings. Your administration took a number, hundreds of executive actions. It didn't stem the flow. Numbers kept going up. Finally, in 2024, just in June, 3 weeks before the first presidential debate with Joe Biden, you institute executive actions that had a dramatic impact, really shut down people crossing over. Why didn't your administration do that in 2022, 2023?
First of all, you're exactly right, Anderson. And as of today, we have cut the flow of immigration by over half. In fact, the numbers I saw most recently, illegal immigration.
But if
is
it was
low,
that easy on, with that finish. Executive me, action, why not do it in 2022, 2023?
Because we were working with Congress and hoping that actually we could have a long-term fix to the problem instead of a short-term fix.
You couldn't have done one and both at the same time?
Well, here's the thing. We have to understand that ultimately this problem is going to be fixed through congressional action.
See, the biggest problem for Kamala Harris is she doesn't know who to blame. The easy thing to do would be to just blame Joe Biden. I mean, my God, and this is the part that you go, why are you just not blaming Biden? Why don't you just turn around and go, oh, listen, I wasn't president, all right? What, you upset with something? It says his fault. Do you realize she can't? Why can't she do that? It's amazing. I know the answer, though. The answer is because there are a lot of Biden people out there who don't like her, and she hasn't locked down her base yet. But, I mean, this is why she can't be the change candidate. This is why putting in the vice president to run instead of the president who owns all the crappy things that you don't like about this country was a terrible idea on their part. You want to make somebody the bad guy, then make him the bad guy. Oh, man. All right, let me play one more clip of you. This is another one. This is Anderson Cooper asking Kamala if she believes Trump is an anti-Semite. Horrible thing to say when his grandkids are Jewish, his daughter converted to Judaism to marry Jared Kushner and raise their kids Jewish. Horrible thing. And you should just be a definitive, no, of course I don't think that. But she doesn't want to say that. She's going to leave it out there. And that's shameful. And that's totally irresponsible and absolutely outrageous that she would let that hang out there like this. Cut number 10.
Do you believe Donald Trump is anti-Semitic?
I believe Donald Trump is a danger to the well-being and security of America.
I believe he's a danger. We're still doing the 2016 talking points. Donald Trump mean. Donald Trump danger. And you're wondering why she's losing. I mean, I love it. I think it's great. I really do. Because this is the worst candidate I've ever seen in my life. Oh, you don't believe me? You're saying, Rich, stop it. Rich, you've worked in politics now since you were like 6 years old. You're telling me this is the worst candidate you've ever seen in your lifetime? Stop it. No, it's true. I really am saying that. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, then I'll prove it for you once and for all. I'll prove it definitively. Anderson Cooper asked Kamala Harris, is there something you can point to in your life that is a mistake that you've learned from? In all my years in politics, I've never heard an answer this bad. This is so categorically stupid, it feels like something in an Adam Sandler movie. Cut number 11.
Is there something you can point to in your life, political life or in your life in the last 4 years, that you think is a mistake that you have learned from?
I mean, I've made many mistakes. and they range from, you know, if you've ever parented a child, you know you make lots of mistakes, too. In my role as vice president, I mean, I've probably worked very hard at making sure that I am well-versed on issues, and I think that is very important. It's a mistake not to be well-versed on an issue and feel compelled to answer a question.
You never answer a question. That's the problem. You toss word salads out there, and even David Axelrod is acknowledging how you have to toss word salads out there. Are you kidding me? That's the problem with you. This is bad. This is why she's so bad. So then he asked her, anybody makes $400,000 a year, you're going to have their taxes raised? Yes or no? Very simple question, right? As you have the answer here, cut number 12.
So you're saying, well, what you're saying is anyone under $400,000 won't have taxes raised. Are you saying that anyone above $400,000 will have a tax raise?
I'm saying that there is going to be a parity around what the richest people pay in terms of their taxes. Right now, Anderson, you know, it is well documented that some of the richest people in our country have gotten away with a zero tax rate.
But if you're earning $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 under your plan, there's a good chance your taxes go up.
We can't have this conversation without knowing it's a very complicated situation, right?
It's very, very complicated situation. Oof. Man, but hey, remember this, though. The best part is of all of this that I can tell you is that if anyone was thinking that Kamala Harris would be good on the economy, and that was the reason they needed to be able to convince themselves to take a risk on her and to take a chance, knowing that Donald Trump was better, but just because they don't like Donald Trump because he's a meanie pants, then answer the very, very simple question about what you would do on taxes. And answer the simple question, and she can't even do that, which is why she goes to Word Salad City. It's bad. You know what they're going to do now? They're going to bring Barack Obama out there on the campaign trail. Yeah, they're going to bring Barack Obama on the campaign trail more and more. In fact, the Pod Save America bros, all those guys were out there saying Barack Obama needs to be everywhere on the campaign trail in the closing weeks. Surrogates don't work. And if he was on the campaign trail with her, he would outshine her at every event. It's a real problem. All right, listen, got a lot more to come for you. Trump's going to speak in Arizona. We got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up. But listen, winter's coming too. So how is your property doing? If you've got water in your backyard, you got to deal with it now before winter comes, okay? Water problems never get better on their own. They only get worse. That's why you need Garden State Earthworks. My buddy Lou, GardenStateEarthworks.com. He's a great guy, and he will make you a priority if you call him right now at 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. Do it today. Do it today, because if you don't, then what's going to happen is winter's going to come. That water that's in your house, your backyard, whatever, is going to freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw and get worse. GardenStateEarthworks.com. 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. He did two of my properties. He helped me. We had a wet basement in the old house. He solved that problem for us. And he also, in our new house, our backyard was like a swamp, and he drained the water away for us, and it was a great, great thing. GardenStateEarthworks.com, 856-848-4444.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.